fitness enthusiasts, welcome back to another episode of our podcast series where we dive into the fascinating world of health and wellness. Today, we're excited to bring you part two of our discussion on Barbara O'Neill, a renowned fitness expert. In this episode, we'll be exploring the intricate workings of the body's elimination systems, a topic that Barbara is particularly passionate about. Our PHI Fitness team has curated a comprehensive guide on the subject, and we can't wait to share it with you. So buckle up and let's dive into the fascinating world of the body's elimination systems. We're sure you'll find this episode informative and engaging. As always, we're grateful for your support and your interest in our podcast series. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to hit that like button, share it with your friends, and subscribe to our channel for more health and fitness insights. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.
As you can see from our last lecture, microorganisms aren't the enemy that many suppose that they are. They are an integral part of life on planet Earth. They are an integral part of life in the human body. What we have to look at is why they are there if they are out of control. Because when we work with the human body, with its innate ability to heal itself, then we will begin to get results. What I'd like to do in this presentation, I'd like to take you one step further and show you really the true role of microorganisms in disease. Germs don't cause disease. They are the result of unhealthful conditions. Now, certainly if the conditions are so toxic because these microorganisms are so out of control, it can cause a person to get very sick. So number one, one has to first look at why are they there, which is what Florence Nightingale did, and what can we do to the environment to make it so that they are not out of control. Many people today are living in clean houses. Many people today are washing their bodies, but many people today aren't looking at the true cleanliness that should happen inside the body, specifically our gastrointestinal tract. And you can see too from my illustration in our previous lecture that this lining of the gastrointestinal tract is vital for the proper running of the human body, but not only that, for the proper breakdown or final breakdown of nutrients and also the protection so that harmful substances aren't getting out of the gut and into the blood. At the moment on the news, and it has been for 6 months, is the Ebola crisis. But next time you see a photograph of a situation like at Sierra Leone where there are outbreaks, I want you to look at the background in the picture and you will find it's filthy. There's a lot of rubbish there. Now, I'm not saying that I know why it's there or what's happening there, but I think surely this is square one, is we clean up the area and show people how they can live in an environment that's not conducive to disease. I'm sure the Ebola breakout is more than just that, but I would suggest that it's the first step. One has to think, what would Florence Nightingale do in that environment? Exactly what she did in the hospital in Scutari. She would start to clean it up. Nothing can be lost by doing that, and possibly much gained. But I'd like to take you one step further now and show you the role that they really do play in disease. As you can see, they are responsible for the proper maintenance in the human body, but also their link with disease. What is the true link with disease? There is an element of scientists and doctors over the world today claiming that fungus plays a part in the cause of disease in human bodies. And when you have a look at how most people I meet, I don't think I've met anyone other than my son James, who has had no antibiotics in their lifetime. Well, some of my other children haven't either. What are you putting in your body when you put an antibiotic in your body? You're actually putting a mold waste in your body. Now, to date, medicine has documented 1.5 million different moles, yeasts and funguses, and 1,000 of those are known and acknowledged to cause disease in human beings. One of the problems with medicine today is it's difficult for that to be acknowledged because of some of the most popular drugs are actually putting it in, which we looked at with antibiotics. As I said, the human body can cope with probably two courses in a lifetime. But when a lady comes to me and says her little three-year-old is sick, and I start to investigate as to why this child is sick, and this lady said to me, her baby had 22 courses of antibiotics in the first year of life. Wow. What is the definition of insanity? To do what you've always done and expect different results. If something is not working, then we need to step back and have a look at the big picture. And that's why it's essential to acknowledge the vital role that these play in the life in the human body and life on planet Earth. So why would a fungus or a yeast be in the human body? It may be in the human body because the person has taken antibiotics. How many people say to me they get thrush after they have an antibiotic? That's because a mold has just gone into the human body. How can mold get into the human body other than if someone takes an antibiotic? It can get into the human body through ingestion. Again, antibiotics are ingested. It can get into the human body if it is on food. That's why if it ever is on any food, you must not touch it because it's so toxic. The other is it can get through the skin. So if there's a moldy orange in your fruit bowl, please do not touch it. Get a pair of tongs and pick it up, or put your hand in a brown paper packet and pick it up with the brown paper packet and screw it over, then put it into the bin. So it can get in through your skin, it can get in through your mouth. It can be inhaled. That's why if there's any mold in your house, my suggestion is never put bleach on it, because bleach and mold together make an incredibly toxic mix. My daughter in America, she told me there was a story in the newspaper of a death of a woman who was cleaning her moldy bathroom with bleach, and they came in and they found her dead. Every window was shut and the door was shut. Most people, when they clean, because many people do clean bleach with mold, the windows are open or they're not there for a long time. So how can we clean? White vinegar. White vinegar is one of the best. If you have an area that's moldy, my suggestion is make sure you've got a mask on, make sure your skin's covered, and had a spray bottle with straight white vinegar in and just spray it and then leave the room. You can come back 15 minutes later because it will be dead, and then you can wipe it up. If you spray and wipe immediately, the dust given off can go in through your skin and you can inhale it. But also important to ring the plumber or ring the builder and find out why it's moldy, because they're just opportunist organisms. You will find them whenever there's filth, you'll find them whenever the sun and the air aren't getting into the area. Nurses used to read Florence Nightingale's book, Notes on Nursing. That's the title, Notes on Nursing, what it is and what it is not. And when you read her book, you think we should still be reading that book, because her cleanliness rules, some would say, were almost fanatical. She would never have agreed to carpet in a hospital. Carpet is often a breeding ground for germs. When I was nursing many, many years ago, the domestics were constantly mopping. You can mop wood, you can mop tiles, you can mop lino, but you cannot mop carpet. So I say, if you like carpet in a room, it should be very short pile and it should be often vacuumed. You may have seen the SBS series a few years ago called Is Your House Killing You? Dr. Peter Dingle, a PhD from Perth, he majors in that series, and he has probably about 7 shows on those 2 DVDs of different homes where people were very sick, and in most of the cases it was a mold factor, and he'd get the team in, they'd find out why there was mold. In one house, every child's toy, every book in the bedroom, it had mold spores on it. And they found out there was a leaking tap underneath, something like that. So that's why the detective hat always has to be put on. That's why this resident Y should ever be here. Because there should be no mold in your house. If you would like to even pursue this a little bit more, you can go to, I think it's Leviticus 13 in the Bible, where it says in there, if a house is moldy, the house has to be pulled down. If the clothes are moldy, the clothes have to be burnt. In the old King James Version, it's called leprosy. It says leprosy in the house, pull the house down. Leprosy in the clothes. In the new versions, it's called mildew. And then the same Hebrew word uses it for the skin. It's leprosy on the skin. But if they were accurately interpreting it, it would say mildew on the skin. In medicine, a mold is called myco, so mold waste is called a mycotoxin. And if you go to the medical dictionary and look up the word myco, you'll find about four pages of the amount of diseases that have a prefix of myco. In other words, they have a mold factor in them and can be caused by that. One lady said, are you saying fungus causes all disease? Well, it has an aspect in disease, and one has to ask why it is there. So if it is in the human body, is it there because gut protection is broken down? Is it there because the person is eating a lot of sugar? Is it there because they're having a lot of antibiotics? Is it there because they're breathing in a moldy pillow? Is it there because they're a gardener constantly subjected to mold in the compost? You see, it's not as simple as that, that fungus causes disease. It certainly
hey
can be
there,
an element.
Hey there, friends.
The detective hat has to be put on and
continue with this exciting episode
why.
Of our health and wellness series, focusing on the fascinating world of our body's elimination system. Our amazing guest, Barbara O'Neill, shares her insights on how we can take better care of our bodies by strictly adhering to the natural laws of health. Remember, our body is a complex machine, and it's crucial to understand how it works. By paying attention to our elimination system, we can ensure that our body is functioning at its best. So, let's get going as we learn more about this essential aspect of our health. Thank you for tuning into this episode, and we hope you found it informative and inspiring. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to our channel for more fascinating health and wellness content. Take care of your bodies. Let's continue.
Are these things so? There are a few books, and I'd like to refer to those books now. This book is called Breast Cancer Hope at Last, and it's written by the former head of the World Health Organization Department of Mycology, which is, of course, the Department of Fungus. And after 25 years of research, he put all his findings in a book. This book's called Breast Cancer Hope at Last. And he has two other books, one's on prostate and one's called The Garden of Eden Diet. But what I'd like to just give you an illustration of now, I'd like to show you the amount of medical research he quotes. On this page here, there are 16 quoted research papers. In some of his books, he's quoting 30,000 research papers. Wow. So that much of the book is just the quoted research papers. There is another book, and this one's by an Italian oncologist. He's called Dr. Tullio Simoncini, and his book is called Cancer is a Fungus. There's another book, and it's by Doug Kaufman. He's a medical journalist, and he writes with a Dr. Holland. This is an American man, and his book is called The Germ That Causes Cancer. This book's out of print at the moment. You might get it on Amazon, which is where I got it. The book was a soft cover and it fell apart in my hands. But notice the front page of his book, the human DNA and the fungal DNA coming together to cause the cancer DNA. So the link between cancer and fungus is being acknowledged by many today. If you put that into the web, you'll have a whole heap to look at. But this book is very well known. And as you can see by my book, it's a very well-read book. Many guests look at this. It's called The China Study by Dr. Colin Campbell. And he was asked to go to the Philippines because children were dying of liver cancer between 8 and 10 years of age. Liver cancer, now this is something that only usually gets in adults, and at that, alcoholics. And he found the common denominator was peanut butter. Every jar of peanut butter that he tested had aflatoxin. Now the mold that gives off aflatoxin is Aspergillus. And Aspergillus, and this shocked him because he considered surely the wealthy children would be eating a better diet. But the wealthy children were eating what Time magazine called in one article they did, the meat sweet diet. In other words, high meat, high dairy, high sugar, high refined grains. Whereas the poorer children, they were eating a high vegetable diet, a little bit of soy, a little bit of fish, an unrefined diet. Colin Campbell scratched his head because in med school he was told the importance of dairy, the importance of meat, dairy for calcium, meat for proteins and irons. And yet what he was looking at is the poorer children were living and the wealthy children were dying, and the only difference was that diet. They were still having the peanut butter. So he looked a little bit further, and in one medical journal he saw an article on aflatoxin, on liver cancer, which immediately attracted him. And it was by an Indian doctor, and he had done research on rats, 20 rats, all injected with aflatoxin. Every researcher knows you inject aflatoxin, you create liver cancer. 10 rats, he gave a 20% animal protein diet. The other 10 rats, 5% animal protein diet. That's the only difference. He said 2 years rats live, and they test rats because rats have a very similar gastrointestinal tract to humans. And he found that at the end of their life, after 2 years, every rat on the 20% animal protein diet were either dead or dying of liver cancer. And he found every rat on the 5% animal protein diet was free of cancer. Never in research do you get 100% versus naught. He was shocked at this. He closed the study because he said this was against everything he'd been taught. Years later, he did his own research, and the book's called The China Study, because in China, I think it was in about the 60s, there's an emperor who got cancer, and he wanted to do research where he did maps on the parts of the country that had high cancer and low cancer rates. And the high cancer were always around the cities where they were eating the refined food, and the low cancer rates were always out in the country. That's why it's called the China Study. Years later, Colin Campbell did his own research, and he came up with the same results of this Indian doctor. But he did another aspect. He did 20% vegetable protein, but the rats did not get cancer. There was something in the animal protein that was triggering it. There are a few things, actually. It creates an acid environment in the body, and cancer loves an acid environment. And one of those doctors, he was injecting sodium bicarbonate straight into the cancers. Cancer loves acid, and this sodium bicarbonate would cause a wave of alkalinity that the cancer could not survive in. Has he received a Nobel Prize? No, his qualifications have been taken away from him, I'm afraid, at this point. But my reason for showing you those books was to show you that this is acknowledged really worldwide by some very eminent doctors, professors and scientists who are looking at this and starting to get results. You see, chemotherapy and radiotherapy, I wonder if in about 20 years they're going to look at that we're in the dark ages in treatment of cancer, because they certainly kill cancer, but they of course can kill healthy cells too. I find people that do survive chemo and radiotherapy are the people that change their lifestyle. And we here at our health retreat, we have seen some quite remarkable turnarounds by basically working with the human body. So the points that we use when looking at getting any yeast or fungus out of the body, and by the way, a person can have a yeast presence and not have cancer. Well, how would they know? The tongue. The tongue should be perfectly pink from the tip to the back. Now, if the white can be scraped off the tongue, that is waste. But if it cannot be scraped off the tongue, they are usually fungus buds. The human body is designed to heal itself, and it'll heal itself if you give it the right conditions. So what are the right conditions for eliminating a yeast presence out of the body, where it be something as simple as psoriasis or eczema, which are commonly caused by a fungus, or whether it be athlete's foot, tinea, jock itch, anal itch, vaginal itch, or whether it be even more serious with cancer. Number one, starve. How do we starve the fungus? Well, it's very important to acknowledge its favourite food. Its favourite food is sugar. And just about everything that you buy in the supermarket has sugar. It also, of course, multiplies when it is exposed to yeast. So this is your Marmites, your Vegemites, your Promites, your yeast spreads, all your sugars, yeast spreads, and also grains. We totally drastically reduce grains because they can commonly be infected with aflatoxin. In Australia today, all grain is tested for aflatoxin. The grain we get is not totally free because otherwise then none would get through, but a small amount. And of course, if the gut's working well, a small amount can be handled. Also, the person must check their home that they're not constantly being reinfected by a mold presence in the home. Number two, kill.
Hey there, folks.
The good news is that there are herbs that will kill
exploring the body's elimination systems. We hope you found this series informative and engaging, presented by Barbara O'Neill, compliments of PHI Fitness team. Remember, taking care of your body is crucial for your overall health and well-being. We'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to all of you for joining us on this journey. Your support and feedback mean the world to us. If you enjoyed this series, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our channel. Stay tuned for more fascinating health and wellness content. Until next time, take care of your body and keep learning and growing. Join us in the next lecture as we continue to look at the body's elimination system. Cheers.